Good afternoon. Welcome to the House Committee on Transportation and Economic Development. It's Friday afternoon, and some people have some places to be, so we're going to do our best to be quick. And we're going to take the bills in reverse order. So we'll start with a public hearing on House Bill 2311. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Bill 2311 adds criteria used to select projects within statewide transportation improvement program requires Oregon Transportation Commission to work with stakeholders to review and update criteria used to select projects within the statewide transportation improvement program. Requires improvement of connectivity between different modes of transportation.
Thank you. And we have some folks from ODOT, I think. Ms. Bohar? Oh, sure. I don't have the sign-up sheet, so Mr. Tribbett.
All right. For the record, my name is Ryan Tribbett, and I represent the Portland and Western Railroad. Thanks for giving us an opportunity to have a hearing on this bill. This is a pretty simple and small little thing. An idea came to us when we saw some of the changes the department was making several months ago and sort of tearing down some of the paper barriers and making the division more of an active transportation unit. We're very experienced, our railroad, in like the Connect Oregon process that is like through that application process. They have questions about like when you submit an application for a rail project, what are the benefits to some of the other modes, relieving congestion off the highway system and whatnot, and we thought it worked so well there. That it made sense to have a similar type of criteria apply in the prioritization of the highway fund, so that when you know maybe a Connect Oregon project is being done, the Transportation Commission would have the ability to sort of raise the level and priority on a highway project to maybe do more of a corridor enhancement. We ran the idea by the department, and they thought it was in line with some of the things they're doing and changes that they're making, and so that's why we're here today.
Terrific. Thank you. Ms. Bohart.
Good afternoon, Chair Reed, committee members. For the record, my name is Jerry Bohart. I'm Transportation Development Division Administrator with ODOT. And House Bill 2311 does build on the language from the Jobs Transportation Act. So there were the 10 considerations came from there. And just a little bit of history, we have a STIP stakeholder committee, and they integrated the 10 considerations from the Jobs Transportation to the STIP criteria. And actually in the JTA bill, there's also some language around lease cost planning and the multimodal aspect and conductivity as part of lease cost planning. So really the bottom line is that this 11th consideration really aligns with work that we're already doing, and in fact in the process we have going on right now for the 12-15-12-18 STIP, that expectation of multimodal conductivity is in the application process. So with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Thank you. Are there questions? Wow, this is the simplest, easiest bill ever, huh? Very good. Well, I think the operative language in what you said was that it aligns well with what you're already doing, but putting that in statute seems like a reasonable move. So I don't see any other questions on the bill. We will say goodbye, say thank you. I don't see anyone else who has signed up for the bills or anybody else who wants to be heard on House Bill 2311. I don't see anyone. With that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 2311. And Troy, we have all the paperwork we need, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have all the paperwork we need. We have both revenue and fiscal.
Very good. So I'll open the work session on House Bill 2311. Representative Benz.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2311 to the floor with this new pass recommendation with...
That's 2298.
Sorry. To the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Benz has moved House Bill 2311 to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? I don't see any. Is there objection? I don't see any. That the motion carries. Is this, I hesitate to ask, worthy of consent calendar? Do we need an explanation of this on the floor?
Keep it simple.
No reactions? Shall we amend your motion and see if we want to put this on the consent calendar? Okay.
Yeah.
Representative Benz will carry. Thank you. And with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2311 and open a public hearing on House Bill 2298. Troy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
House Bill 2298 directs the Oregon Business Development Department to establish bid process and bid pool to promote national and international sports events in Oregon, establishes sports Oregon Sports Event Bid Pool Fund, continuously appropriates money from general fund to department and implementation of sports event bid process and bid pool.
Thank you. Mr. Mihalik. So as he comes forward, Drew Mihalik with the Oregon Sports Authorities, we have some discussions on some of the things that can make a difference for economic development in Oregon. We've talked about infrastructure, we've talked about transportation. We have an opportunity to hear about sports. Mr. Mihalik.
Thank you, Chair Reed and committee members. My name is Drew Mihalik, Director of the Oregon Sports Authority, actually now in my 17th year. And I want to thank the committee for hearing our plea. The sports events industry is one of the largest economic drivers in the country. It has generates 25 million sports tourists, and spending is $8 billion nationally in 2012 alone. About 20 years ago, states throughout the U.S. recognized that there was large economic value in sports events. And thereafter, we saw the creation of sports commissions to secure the economic value that these sports events bring. And these sports events bring economic returns, they create jobs, and they enhance quality of life. Our Oregon Sports Authority Foundation, the last two decades, has also donated more than $1 million in cash and in-kind services to youth throughout Oregon, giving them a chance to participate in and watch sports events. Our organization is now in our 20th year. We were recently recognized as the National Sports Commission of the Year. We're a nonprofit organization. We receive about 85% of our funding from over 100 corporate donations. The remainder is from contract work for Business Oregon, the City of Portland, and Travel Oregon. Highlights of our accomplishments include the U.S. Figure Skating Championships, the Davis Cup World Final, two Women's World Cups in soccer, two NCAA basketball tournaments, helping to bring the MLS Timbers to Oregon, and many more events with an aggregate impact of $233 million. I would like to just explain what a bid is like. What happens is the owner of an event sends out what's called an RFP, a request for proposal. And in that proposal, they request what's commonly called a bid fee. And it's because these events generate so many hundreds of thousands of dollars and perhaps millions of dollars in economic impact, the owners of the events are able to justify these bid fees. A bid fee is really a misnomer. It really should be called a host fee. And here's the reason. When you bid for an event and you secure the event, then you are liable to pay the bid fee. But if you bid for an event and you don't get it, then you have absolutely no obligation at all to pay the bid fee. So it's not really a bid fee, it's really a host fee where you pay only if you win the event. And so in terms of this bill, there is never money ever at risk that would go into somebody else's event if that event didn't actually occur. The bidding process has become much more competitive in recent years. Let me give you an example. The U.S. Figure Skating Championships now require a $1 million bid fee. So we would have to submit a $1 million check to figure skating if we won the bid. If we didn't win the bid, then we wouldn't have to do that. But in contrast, when we won the event, we actually bid for the 2005 championships. We bid for that in 2003. The bid fee then was $250,000. So it shows what's happened in the last decade. These bid fees have really escalated. Other states like Texas, Utah, Florida, Missouri, Ohio, they are now getting substantial state support to keep them competitive, and which is why we needed to come here as well. The economic benefits of some of the events, let me give you a great example, is an NBA All-Star game, which we're actually looking at right now. The last 2 years, in Houston and Orlando, they reported an economic impact of over $60 million. For those events. It's just terrific. Our U.S. Figure Skating Championship was worth over $12 million, and the NCAA basketball tournament is worth about that much as well. I should say that Oregon is absolutely a fantastic sports event destination. Sports events do extremely well here. We have state resources for sports that is the envy of most other states. Our climate is perfect for running, cycling, triathlons. We have the only year-round skiing mountain in the country. There is no better place in the world than to windsurf in Oregon, and no better place than our beaches for ocean surfing. Our stadiums, arenas, and facilities are terrific for events like soccer, basketball, tennis, volleyball, skating, swimming, fencing, and our golf courses, arguably the finest in the world. They're that good. Because we've got all these great assets in that are great for sports events, it really does make sense to make an investment in sports, because the returns can be so great because we know they'll be successful. There's a lot of indirect value from hosting sports events. When we hosted two Women's World Cups in soccer, and they were to capacity crowds, it let the soccer world take notice that soccer could be very successful in Oregon. And really, a few years later, we now have the Portland Timbers that created jobs, economic impact, quality of life. Another example, well, this was years ago, and it was actually in your district, I believe, Chair Reed. The Davis Cup came here, and NEC was their international sponsor. And the NEC people from Japan had never been to Oregon. But when they came here, they fell in love with it, and they built their American headquarters here, once again creating jobs and economic impact. We've got the potential to be a nationally renowned sports destination. There's no doubt about it. And so an investment in sports would be a great economic driver for Oregon, and we have a 60-second video that captures the spirit of this testimony that's coming up.
Very good.
Thank you, Karen, for loading it.
Oh, here it comes.
We're right.
We can start over. Don't look yet.
Don't look yet.
Get the full experience.
Don't read the back of the last page.
Yeah. How's this game end?
Never mind.
The Oregon Sports Authority serves as the state's go-to resource for a variety of sports tourism and economic development initiatives, bringing Oregon is a place unlike any other, from world-renowned golf courses to awe-inspiring mountain peaks. Oregon offers unmatched scenic beauty fused with a sports and recreation culture so rich it flows through the entire state. With support from more than 150 area businesses, the Oregon Sports Authority serves as the state's go-to resource for a variety of sports tourism and economic development initiatives, bringing the best in sport to Oregon again and again. Oregon offers events of all sizes, a dedicated team of local organizers, unparalleled hospitality and public transit to and from hotels, venues, restaurants, and entertainment. Over the past two decades, the Oregon Sports Authority has generated more than $200 million in economic impact for Oregon, with much more on the way. So join us and discover yourself in a stunning state of sports paradise.
And that is our video. Thank you for watching. On your wristband, that video is actually loaded onto your wristband that we passed out, and also our annual report. So thank you, Chair Reed, for the opportunity to testify. Obviously, we would encourage you to support House Bill 2298, and I would be delighted to answer any questions that anybody may have.
We'll see if you say that after we're done.
I imagine we do have some questions.
Representative Doherty.
Actually, I do have a question about the, looking over the bill, and there's kind of a blank in there about what is coming out of the general fund, and is there any sort of estimate as to what dollar amount you're asking for?
I think we wanted to defer that amount to what was, you know, best, you know, for this legislative session. I think internally we've talked in for the biennium a $2 million range. Something of that nature would be substantial enough to make a difference.
Thank you.
Questions?
Representative Davis, then Representative Nance.
Thank you, Chair. In follow-up to that question, obviously that $2 million came from somewhere. There's probably a strategy in particular events you'd like to bid for. Could you answer two questions? First, what size of pool have you been able to raise from your private members thus far to bid on some of these events? Where do you see the deficit now, which gets to the second question of how do you reach the $2
million? Right. Chair Reed and Representative Davis, thanks for that question. The amount that we looked at was, I mean, the fact of the matter is the amount could be 10 times that amount in terms of what the need is and what the possibilities are for bringing events. And so we thought what would be, frankly, what would be one of the lowest amounts that could make a substantial difference. We are a strong financial organization ourselves that's run in the black for 18 straight years. The problem is that when we're now facing events that require upwards of $250,000 and $500,000 in bid fees. Frankly, we could muster our own resources to do that, but then we'd be worn out financially. And so what we need is really additional funding. We believe funding in this nature will bring others to the table. Including ourselves, our corporations, and local committees, communities that will want to invest, and so we don't see this request as the sole source of money going into. We would still contribute ourselves from our own organization, and so we think that would be at a level where we could be equitable to the seven different regions of Oregon, each of whom has its own assets for bringing in events.
Oh, thank you, Chair. Any idea what other states are doing in terms of the size of their bid pools?
I can tell you Utah has an $81 million reserve fund that they use. The reserve that Texas uses is actually larger than that, and then there's smaller ones in the several million dollar range.
Thank you,
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it's exciting to think about the possibilities of being able to do even more. I really identify with your comment that, I think I might have this as a quote, Oregon has the potential to be an internationally renowned sports destination.
That's correct.
That's a real exciting idea. My questions are all around just the mechanics of how this would work, because generally when we allocate public resources, we need to account for it, explain why it was a good investment, how the money was used. So in part, I'd like information about the past as well as the future. Is there somewhere in the files from the last 18 years, it doesn't have to be 18 years worth, but somewhere for a few years at least, would you be able to show us a list of what you've helped financially and how much it cost, you know, how much was provided for the bid or the host fee?
Sure.
What kind of help you provided and how that was spread around the state, like either the city or the county or whatever. So just to have a little history of what you've done in the past would be helpful. And also, it's a question, would another area of question I have is, how do you envision this working in the future? Would you develop a bid selection process, or would a state agency develop the process for deciding who would get the money? And, you know, I'm concerned, well, is it a first-come, first-serve thing, and once the money is gone, oh, whoops, we didn't know that 3 days later there was going to be a request from someone else?
Chair Reed and Representative Nathanson, I think this bill allows for the participation of each region to establish their priorities for what sports events are important to them, and for them to make sure that their own evaluations of the economic impact anticipated from those events and their chances of securing those events are made known. And then, honestly, I think once all those events in each region can be documented, then I think the selection can be relatively easy in terms of finding those events with still, no matter what this bill passes, there's going to be a limited amount of resources to find which events make the most sense in a sequential way in terms of bringing the greatest economic impact to the region. And there's going to have to be considerations. Obviously, if there's one region where it just seems to make more sense for every event that they do, then there's probably has to be, you know, some sense of, you know, regional, you know, equity in terms of throughout the state so that other regions feel represented too. But I think those are going to be issues that will be actually fun and exciting for regions to participate in, because they'll now have a chance to get the events that otherwise they wouldn't. And obviously, our agenda is to really grow the whole state as much as it's possible. Obviously, there's going to be certain regions where certain sports, like, you know, like ocean surfing, obviously the coast, and for golf courses, obviously there's certain areas where golf can work depending on the course. And so I think this would be something that would be an asset and one of the positives of the bill for everybody to feel enfranchised and working toward that solution.
And before you ask a follow-up, if you have one, I should break in and say that I don't think we're ready to move this bill today, but this is an opportunity again to identify some of the amendments we might want. And for your benefit, Mr. Smith, you may have encountered something called Connect Oregon. This committee has been discussing lately around transportation infrastructure, and the notion there is different regions, applicants competing essentially, and some allocations for specific regions around the state. So that may be something we want to talk about putting in the bill and being specific about. So yeah, we'll see. Did you have a follow-up?
I'll just comment that I appreciate the response. Thank you. And I do hope that we can have a little bit of work done to just add a little more clarity about establishing process or criteria or whatever by region. Sure. Thank you.
And let me just add one more thing. I mean, I did hear obviously from the Eugene Cascade Sports and events, and one of the points that they pointed out was that there are so many events out there where and these are the smaller events where an infusion of 10 to 25,000 can make the difference between getting it and losing it, and this fund would allow for capturing all those events where you just don't normally have enough money, but all of a sudden, if there's a bid fund, they become possible. And a lot of these events, you know, they're small, but they'll bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars in economic impact.
Thank you. Representative Cameron, and then Representative Lively.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Drew, it's been a lot of years. You might not recognize me. I didn't have gray hair and a beard back in 2005. But
you seem to be better looking with it.
Oh, okay. we'll leave that up for somebody else's opinion. Basically, I wanted to talk a little bit about the elimination of sports action and how that impact. Just could you maybe talk to the committee, because your word and what you did there bringing the two tournaments, I think, since we eliminated sports action, how much do those cost? I mean, those types of things, give us real examples of those. And maybe the other thing you mentioned was $84 million in Utah and even more in Texas. What are their funding sources? And if these things are, which I believe they are, very good for the economic development of our state, whether it's a track meet in Eugene or,
right.
or a tournament in Portland. What are some opportunities for us to make this fund, to seed this fund and potentially have it fulfill itself if there's some vision you sure. may have of some other things states do?
Sure. Chair Reed and Representative Cameron, you referred to probably one of the most stellar moments in Oregon sports history.
I rode the train up and watched the game. I was there. Yeah. It was great.
When several years ago, in a joint effort, we worked on eliminating the sports lottery in Oregon as a prerequisite to bid for the NCAA basketball tournament. And as a result, we did eliminate the sports lottery. We were rewarded in 2009 and last year in 2012, and we have a winning bid that we know for 2015. Each of these basketball tournaments has brought in over $10 million in economic impact, and we hope to, in the future, after 2015, to bring a regional, and we hope to bring in perhaps a women's Final Four. That would be just terrific. The trade-off for eliminating the sports lottery was that the universities had been receiving funds from the sports lottery, and to ensure that they were made whole, they then received 1% of the general lottery, I believe, funds to supplement their athletic departments. And so in terms of the NCAA events, those are a little different than a lot of the others. They're more expense-driven, where you have to make sure that you are actually spending money on all the things that go into police escorts, bus transportation, signage around the city, all the little things that really add up to quite a lot to make sure that they have a positive experience to come back. And so what you're doing is you're basically investing in those events as lost leaders so that they come back. And the fact is that Oregon is the only venue that has won three straight bids from the NCAA for their basketball tournament, because the events do so well here. We were the third best attended out of eight, and last year we didn't even have any teams that were even remotely close to Oregon. I mean, this year it would be great if we could get a team like Gonzaga. We've got established a very good reputation with the NCAA, and I believe they'll want to come back. Now, in terms of an example, if we were to bid for the women's Final Four, I could say we could bid for the men's Final Four, but frankly, we don't have an indoor stadium that's now required. But our arenas are big enough for a women's Final Four. That requires in the neighborhood of between probably $500,000 to $1 million in a bid fee for the right to host that event. But the economic impact justifies that upfront money. And in terms of replenishing, you know, this is the kind of agenda where creativity and innovation can be used. If there are certain events where we can invest money from a bid pool, and if those events should prosper, we would certainly make every effort to see whether there's a way to get a return back that would go into the bid pool again and replenish it. I can tell you a lot of the events do not make windfalls. There are examples of some who have. For example, the U.S. Figure Skating Championships did do very well. So there are events where that can happen. And so if we perhaps implement something for those events that are going to make a profit, and that money can come back to the bid fund, that would certainly be something that would be, you know, good stewards of the investment on all our behalf.
Oh, I mean, can you speak to the revenue sources for Utah or Texas?
And oh, I'm sorry.
Where those are coming from for them?
Texas, I believe, uses the sales tax generated by the events that come in from the hotels, the rental cars, the retail stores, the tickets that are sold. And Utah, after hosting 2002 Salt Lake Olympics received $81 million from the Olympics net profit at the end. Other states are using a lot of tax and just allocations. But frankly, the other states aren't in the $81 million range. They're in the multiple million-dollar range.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Representative Lively.
Thank you, Chair. This is a fascinating opportunity, and I don't want to try to suggest things that would somehow cause problems for the smaller, because I think that's one of the real opportunities that we can spread these events around.
Yes.
And so in some cases, as you suggested, a small amount of money can make a big difference in
right.
the community. And so that's not, but I'm trying to understand, so what's the opportunity to leverage besides you talk about what you might be bring to the table from others in the state and those that participate in this events to leverage, match, in-kind contribution, those things to show what, I guess, to go back to help replenish or to build the fund or to make the funds available. And the other thing, just as he was talking about the replenishing of it, I know in my neighboring community that one of the ways that they raise funds in order to help with the arts is on an extra charge on the tickets themselves for that, and I don't know all the complications of that, but it just seems like when we're having these kind of events and there's such a demand for those events, that might be another source.
Like I said, Chair Reed and Representative Lively, we can be creative on how we go about this, and we can certainly test the waters to add a fee to a ticket, and frankly, we've got over 100 corporations that support us, and you know, obviously, we've got the big three, you know, Nike, Adidas, and Columbia Sportswear that care very much about sports. To that extent, that events are important to them, as they are to us and to everybody in the state, those requests can certainly be made. And to the extent that they'll know that a certain number of dollars are additionally needed, I think they would recognize the importance. And I think, like I said, I think others would really come to the table corporately, and as you suggest, there may be a way to have the individuals, you know, for a small ticket tax also add to it. And frankly, we grow the sports agenda in this entire state.
Thank you.
Representative McEwen.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Just to, the Olympic Trials has been here a couple times now, and can you talk to me just a little bit about that process, how we brought them here, what benefit? I know it was a huge, tremendous benefit to Lane County and beyond, but was anything gleaned from an event like that in anticipation of beginning to do something like this with your organization, and were you a part of that?
We were a part, Chair Reed and Representative McEwen. We were involved in the very first Olympic Trials bid. And for those that may not know, Eugene has held two U.S. Olympic trials in track and field. And I believe each of those economic impacts, each exceeded $25 million. They were just phenomenal events. They were very costly to bid for. We, at one point, I believe, contributed in 2008, our own organization contributed, I think, $25,000. Toward the cause, but the costs were, I believe, much, much higher from money raised in the Eugene area, and I believe that there are no regrets in the Eugene area for those events, and I know they want it in 2016 as well, and we are 100% supportive of those efforts because, like I said, Oregon is a great state for running and track and field, and although it was like the most worst weather you could imagine for the opening day of the trials this year, world records were still set by Ashton Eaton phenomenally, and so it really, and Galen Rupp did okay too, running in the rain. And the interesting thing is, I don't think there's any place in the country where in that kind of weather, you could still see every person in their seat watching, over 20,000 people watching that event. So Oregon's got the kind of fans that sports events love to come to, which is why it would be surprising or shocking if the 2016 trials didn't come back to Eugene.
I guess part of my question is, how much of a burden did that end up being financially on Lane County or the city of Eugene relative to a project like this where there could be the money up front to actually bring the event? So I'm trying to relate what you're trying to do with what's happened in the past.
I don't have access to their facts and figures in terms of where they actually wound up. I know that they did set U.S. records in attendance. And the prices of the tickets were healthy. I know that they had substantial sponsorship from Nike and Safeway. And it really was, I think, the biggest contribution that I could see, and I think Representative Nathanson would echo this, is that we noticed that the entire community of Eugene were volunteers. I mean, thousands and thousands of volunteers, non-paid volunteers, stepped up to make sure that the event was everything that it should be. And that's part of what these kind of sports events needs as well, is that kind of community philanthropy of their time.
Thank you. I don't know what the protocol is, Chair Reed, but I think Representative Nathanson had something to say, and I will turn it over to you to proceed.
No problem. I was just going to comment that you said you thought Representative Nathanson would echo what you were saying. Let's ask her.
It was indeed extremely costly to the community. The event cost way beyond the $25,000 approximately that the authority was able to help with. Millions. It cost millions to bring it and millions to pull it off. Part of the extreme cost, frankly, is security, because when you have national and international events that are high profile, it becomes a national security. It gets attention, and federal agencies become involved, and the amount of local police that you have to draw on and then pay overtime and bring police in from neighboring communities or even other counties nearby, it's quite a huge cost. But then the benefit, not only to the local area but to the state, because the people coming from out of state pretty much come in through Portland. And you hope that they're staying to make more of their travel experience, staying a few days on the front or back end. And so that's what the idea is all about. And in addition to the volunteers, I went to the volunteer thank you event following the first trials, the 2008, and I sat at a table and helped thank volunteers that had come multiple days volunteering from Coos Bay and from Bend. And there were even some volunteers from out of state. This event is such a remarkable event. People were coming and spending their own money to help at the event. So it's really a big thing to pull off. I would like to build on something, though, that Mr. Mihalik said earlier. The idea is, if you can do an event well, you should be able to bring it back. It should whoever it is that's organizing, right, it should want to come back and do subsequent events. So it occurs to me that in considering criteria that we might use, we might want to look at the local interest or investment in doing the event well, so you can get that second and third and fourth time to come back. Mm-hmm. You know, the one-time thing feels good, but because of the investment that was made in the track, in the security, and all the other planning that went around the 2008 trials, that Hayward Field has now had 6 consecutive years of national and international events, and there are probably some more to come. So it shows that with the right kind of investment, it can pay off more than just that one-time event.
So am I hearing you suggesting the potential of a local match requirement or something of that sort in the as a criteria?
If not monetary, the investment of people and other resources to ensure that the interest to have a successful event is there.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Representative.
Excellent. Yeah.
Right, and I think that takes us very nicely to my question, which was the type of question we would ask of Connect Oregon, which would be the return on investment and what is it really that we're doing? Is my understanding that you would ask for $2 million this year, and then $2 million 2 years from now, and then $2 million after that? Or is this a revolving loan, or is this
taking the words out of my mouth?
Wasting asset. And then I have a follow-up to that. Sure.
Well, obviously, Vice Chair Bentz, Chair Reed, obviously that will be a decision of this committee and the legislature as it goes forward. Our hope is that we would not have to return every biennium. But we do recognize that when money is allocated for a particular cause, it's clear that that cause has to show the return on investment to justify future allocations. And so I think it needs to be reinforced that the money that's spent will have to be documented to show a significant return on investment that justifies any replenishment or further continuation of these funds.
Oh, please. Thank you. The problem with all of these, of course, is measuring that.
Yes.
And we've been sitting through a lot of these after-the-fact things, particularly in this committee and then in others. Tax credits, for example, as you try to figure out whether or not the investment really was worth it.
Right.
And so do you have any documentation that would show the type of return we could expect on the $2 million for real? And because all of the stuff that Representative Nathanson suggests would have to be netted out.
Right.
And
it would depend on which events are selected, and different events have different rates of return. I'm confident that we could give a range of the kind of return on investment that these funds could bring, from obviously a certain low level to an apex of return, and so I think that's very doable.
Well, the problem we have, of course, is that there's all kinds of folks coming in with different. Great ideas, and this is a really good one,
yeah,
and I really
you.
Do like it, but it reminds me an awful lot of the film credit,
mm-hmm.
and no matter which way we twisted that film credit, we still lose about half
mm-hmm.
When compared to the amount of tax revenue that comes back in,
right.
And so we're waving goodbye to that each time we engage in that kind of expenditure.
Right.
So what you seek is a indirect return, and that gets you into a real muddled area.
Of course.
And yes. then we also seek some comparative balancing sort of
right.
choice thing, and so I think the idea is a good one, but when compared to other types of choices here, I'm not sure how good.
Well, I believe that when we're evaluating which events should go forward, obviously a criteria could be only those events that show multiple times return on investment of whatever the allocation would be, and from my years of experience, these events do make that kind of economic return on these kind of investments. The events that require $500,000 or even $1 million, we've seen $10 million in economic impact. Obviously, there would probably be a lot more smaller allocations in, like I said, the 10 to maybe $25,000 or $50,000 range. But those events often and you can count on them yielding hundreds of thousands in economic return. And I think one of the criteria would be to go forward with only those events that have been projected to produce those kind of returns.
Go ahead, please. The reason I'm worried about this is that you've been doing that for quite a long number of years.
Correct.
And if there's that kind of margin, then asking for that fee to get that money back would seem to be doable. And going to all of the vendors and everybody else that's going mm-hmm. to benefit from this
mm-hmm.
and indeed show that economic return,
mm-hmm.
you would think you could impose a beer tax or a something, mm-hmm. a fee for your involvement so that you could get that money back. Why hasn't that happened?
In theory, it's because we're not a state that has the sales tax And in the states that have the sales tax, they actually can recoup that through those taxes. And since we don't have that, you would be counting on almost the philanthropy of the hoteliers, the rental car companies, the retail stores, the restaurants, to find a way to give that back. Like the example in Eugene with $26 million of economic impact, I believe that community, if there was an easy way to respond to reinvest back into the event, that they would. But it gets dispersed so wide in terms of the community. When you don't have a sales tax to capture that economic impact, it becomes a pretty big challenge.
Yeah, right. And this does take us almost instantly to, then why is this part of the broad part of the state benefiting Eugene? Because we've just benefited all the vendors that surround Austin, but what about the ones out in Burns? And so, and this is not to get us off to that tangent, because Burns gets a lot of benefit from this building that it doesn't, you know, necessarily equalize. But it takes us, this conversation takes us there really quickly.
Right. So, and that's why I think that the idea of this bill is to have real equity among the regions, so that so that each region gets its fair share of this investment, so that nobody can cry foul.
So what are those regions? I think you mentioned seven at one point.
Right. I was just using the regions that have been identified by Travel Oregon as the different regions of the state.
Okay. So we could use that.
Right.
So Representative Parrish and then Representative Cameron. That's okay.
Well, so you know, interesting conversation listening to this, because you want people to come to your town, and you want people to, you want something that events that are going to put your town and your state on the map. But I will say, I think we have to have a mechanism that looks at the return on investment that is very consistent. You know, I was fortunate enough to take my kids up to Vancouver, B.C. in 2010 for the Olympics. That event has cost them a downgraded credit rating. They have not recouped the financial investment. The winter up at Whistler, the condos that were the Olympic Village, have still not been sold. So all this infrastructure that they thought would have, value and residual value is actually a massive debt burden for the city of Vancouver, B.C. And it was beautiful and great while it was all going on, but, some of that stuff is now a ghost town. And so as you look at the infrastructure, you'd hope that there'd be multi-purpose infrastructure for those events, that not just for one event, but what else could those be repurposed for after an event? Because when something like that comes in and out of your town, if you're just left with infrastructure that nobody else wants, that's concerning.
I got to say, I hope we get to have that kind of a conversation.
I know. I know, but...
You're a marathon
small money. I get it. Right. I get it. Small money, but it's Portland put on the list for that down the road in the future, and I don't know that you could do that, but it was on the list. But I just it is when you make those investments. I guess the point I'm trying to make is there's got to be a methodology to pull out that ROI.
Agreed.
And really make sure that any kind of infrastructure does have a repurposing and a plan for repurposing down the road, not just for those events. And be thoughtful about how you get the maximum value out of
Understood.
Infrastructure.
Understood. And if you want to say anything, that's fine. Or we can go to Representative Cameron, then Gorsuch, then Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Benz, I'd be happy to help you sponsor a tumbleweed wrestling contest.
Save that. That would have been good for a lot.
But I do.
Prejudice. Uranium mining.
The sight of you in spandex scares me.
Oh. Drew, this is too much
retort,
fun.
Representative Cameron?
No. I do want to say that even being here in Salem, and I'm sure the people that drove over from Idaho or whatever to the Eugene event filled up in gas stations in Burns or whatever. I mean, this is a statewide. You get a lot of regional impact, from the hotels and stuff. But there is a hotel tax. We do have a lodging tax, sales tax in the state, and there may be Whereas Bill Perry, I mean, he hates it when people bring that up. There may be some options there to look at what that's for, because it's for economic advertising, tourism, and those types of things. And there may be some things in that particular, whatever you call that, revenue-generating ability to maybe look at. When there's an event, there's a trigger that that goes on to that, too. So I just wanted to bring that up as an idea.
Appreciate that. Thank you. Representative Gorsuch?
I want to ask you a little different line of questions here.
Spandex.
I noticed in the film, and then I noticed on here, there's some references to professional sports.
Correct.
And I'd just like to know a little bit more about the Oregon Sports Authority in terms of how it relates to drawing professional teams to the state.
Sure. Part of our mission is to secure sports events and sports franchises. The fact of the matter is, at this point, we do have the Trailblazers in, of the NBA, and we do have MLS Timbers. And we've got minor league baseball, we've got minor league hockey, and we've got minor league baseball actually in three different parts of the state. We're always interested in the next franchise. That is a pursuit that is very long term, and we can't devote a whole lot of staff time or resources to bringing in those kind of franchises. But they're usually triggered. For example, if the National Football League should announce that they're going to expand by two teams, then we would be very active to find out how responsive Oregon would like to be to bring in that franchise. But in terms of our day-to-day activities, it's not something that you can count on, because you can spend a decade trying to bring in a franchise and come up with nothing. Whereas if you spend that same amount of time on sports events, you know that you're going to be bringing in millions of dollars of economic impact. The fact of the matter is, our population probably could handle, in terms of demographics, one more major sports franchise. And then there's a belief that that's probably about as much as we, at least at this time, can handle. But those days are in the future, and that's why the sports events is really the most strategic way to for us to fulfill our mission.
Okay. Thank you, please.
Representative Davis.
Thank you, Chair. And not to belabor the point, but I think that at least the academic research I've seen has shown there's really quite a wide range of economic impact. And what I've heard you say also is that sometimes base hits and doubles are a lot better than home runs.
Correct.
Events like the Olympics, like major events, can be extremely expensive for infrastructure costs, security costs, et cetera.
Right.
You get the World Parasailing Championships,
yes.
Very little impact on local government, big impact in bringing traded sector money into a local
Absolutely.
Community that wouldn't normally get it. The question I have then is, I know there is a 50 to 60 year history of academic research on this, and I'm sure you guys have seen some of it on what works and what doesn't, and if you could provide any of that to the committee or have those who you work with summarize that, it'd be helpful just as part of the discussion.
Sure.
Because there just is a range. Some of the stuff works great and some of the stuff doesn't.
Or if you'd like, you could just provide all the studies and Representative Davis summarize for us.
I'm happy to have
in the World Parasailing event. We'll come watch it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Other comments or questions? Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is very good, and I think we do have some work to do, some more conversation to have offline about what the right criteria are and how we might structure something. If we can get to that, the next stop that this bill would take would be to Ways and Means, and obviously there are a lot of good ideas, as our Vice Chair noted, that are vying for limited dollars, but I, for one, am interested in how we might structure that and see if it can stand the scrutiny that Ways and Means
sure.
put on it. Are there any other comments for today? Last chance. Everybody wants to go home. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your engaging questions.
I appreciate it. And Drew is the only one who signed up. Is there anybody else who wants to be heard on the bill? A rousing response from the back of the room. So we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2298. And unless there's anything else
for the good of the order. Send you on your way home for a good weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Meeting's adjourned. Nope. Oh, I forgot. Thank you. Yes, we do have one. I'm glad you stopped me. I almost hit the gavel down. There is one more item. I would ask unanimous consent that we suspend the rules for the purposes of allowing Representative Gorsuch and Representative Parrish the chance to vote on House Bill 2311, which you see on your agenda had to do with adding criteria for the statewide transportation improvement program. That received support and is headed to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Is there any objection to that unanimous consent request? I don't see any. So the rules are suspended. Representative Gorsuch, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Representative Parrish?
Aye.
Votes aye. And with that, I will ask you if I forgot anything else.
No.
Okay. Committee's adjourned. See you on Monday.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Something with you.
Yeah, please.